Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
I am dwelling on the mountain where the golden sunlight gleams, or a land whose wondrous beauty far exceeds my fondest dreams. I can see far down the mountain where I've wandered weary years, often by the ghosts of doubt and fears, broken vows and disappointments thickly sprinkled all the way, but the Spirit led an airy to the land I hold today. I am drinking from the fountain where I never would abide, for I've satisfied. Well, there's no thirsting for life's pleasures or adorning rich and gay. For I've trod the way before thee and the glory lingers near.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Deciphering prophetical chronology is crucial to accurate interpretation of Scripture. This sermon series will be a study of the 70 weeks of the book of Daniel, chapter 9. The book of Daniel is an Old Testament book of intense prophecy, much like the New Testament book of Revelation. The Lord revealed to Daniel through several visions of secular kingdoms that will rule the earth, and how the Jews and Messiah intertwine. These future kingdoms are known as the times of the Gentiles. The 70 weeks in Daniel is a prophetical time clock that portrays the two advents of Jesus Christ, the first being more chronologically defined, whereas the second is set apart mysteriously. The Apostle Paul wrote, "When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." The Lord's first coming was the fulfillment of the first part of Daniel's vision. But there is another unfulfilled part of the prophecy. There is a second fulfillment that is about to unfold. The Apostle Paul also tells us that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. This event is still future. It is rapidly nearing its fulfillment. especially as we witness the horrific events on the world stage. The globalists, the Nimrod adorers, Mystery Babylon the Great, and all her abominable cohorts are waging war with God, fulfilling Psalm 2, which reads, in part, "The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed." These earthly rulers and great merchants of the earth are in for a rude awakening. They think they are woke, but in reality they are drunk with madness, insanity, and false perceptions and ideologies. Jeremiah, who was also a holy man of God, filled with the Spirit, explains this madness. "Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine, therefore the nations are mad." These globalists, world leaders, Marxist Democrats adore the Tower of Babel and Nimrod, her ancient founder, and they aim to restore her to her former glory in absolute rebellion to God. John the Revelator was given a similar vision in Revelation chapter 17, giving us more details to tie the loose ends of Daniel's prophecy. "There came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and abominations of the earth. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." Babylon is still alive, my friends, only it is not in the Middle East, but has transported her secret agenda globally. The world is in the throes of sheer madness with this fake pandemic and now the Delta variant that has locked down the world and caused billions to fear a microbe, yet there is no fear of God and his judgment against the vile sins that permeate the earth. Christian, the Lord has given us many tools to uncover who this great whore is and the beast she rides upon. It should therefore be easily decipherable who this woman is. I'll give you a hint. She declares herself to be the Queen of Heaven, and she's headquartered in Rome. If you missed an episode of this program and would like to review a past radio broadcast, please go to the Freedom 95 podcast page at freedom95.us/podcast or find past sermons on the Crown of Life Baptist Church YouTube channel, and please hit the red subscribe button. The Fullness of Time, Part 2.
Turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 24. This is the Olivet Discourse. Jesus reiterates a little bit and explains and develops for us a little bit understanding about what took place there in Daniel chapter 9. And Jesus even mentions Daniel's name. "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation," verse 15, Matthew 24, verse 15. "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation," spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Okay, there, Matthew 24, verse 15. "The abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains." It means when you see this covenant broken, when you see the Antichrist, the future king of the world, America will be part of that. They will have been stripped of their sovereignty. All the nations will have been stripped of their sovereignty. The Antichrist will be the ruler of the earth. And he's going to make that covenant, but he's going to break it, and he's going to declare himself to be God. And some think that he may even sacrifice a pig, which is an abomination on the altar in the temple, and sacrifice a pig. But he will declare himself to be the God who is to be worshipped. And that is the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Now he doesn't know, when he does that, he just lit his fuse. Because he doesn't believe the word of God, the Antichrist. And basically, the Antichrist thinks he's going to be victorious over God. And he's just lit his fuse. And it basically, when the Lord comes back, that's when the big bang takes place. That's the real big bang. Didn't take place at the beginning of the creation of the world. The big bang will take place when the Antichrist and the false prophet will be thrown alive into the lake of fire. And then there'll be some toasties. So he references Daniel. Stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. He's telling the Israelites, when you see this happen, you better flee. And these Jews at this time do not believe in the Lord. Jews don't read the New Testament. But there's going to be some witnesses, 144,000 witnesses that will be proclaiming these things. The two witnesses that most likely will be Moses and Elijah, they'll be proclaiming these things. And the Jews and the world will hate them so much, they will try to kill them. And in due time, they are successful. Then in 3 days, their bodies resurrect off the ground and ascend up into heaven. So many of the Jews will have heard these things. And he's warning them, when you see this happen, don't mill around and go to the pub and talk about it. You better hightail it out of town. Don't wait for Allied moving vans to back up to your house so you can take your refrigerator and your comforter. He's saying you better hightail it out of Jerusalem, or you're going to be a dead man. And then we learn in verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Great tribulation is coming. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. It's going to be so horrendous in the living conditions that it will be barely livable in that time, because God is going to send the plagues down upon the earth. And also, if you stand for the Lord and believe in the Lord, your chances of living a long life are very nil. And so you will be hunted like wild animals. So the Hebrew word Messiah is found twice in the book of Daniel. Means anointed one. In Psalm 2:2, we hear the scriptures say, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Meaning anointed. When you say anointed, that means the hand of God is on that individual. The Spirit of God is on that individual. They're anointed of God. David, the king of David, in the book of the Bible. That God had anointed him to be king. He was anointed of God. The hand of God was upon him. We find just a different spelling in the New Testament, because here's how things work. When you have a Hebrew word, and then you translate it to Greek, and then the Greek back to the English, you get a slightly different spelling of the word Messiah, and it becomes Messiahs, as found in John. And we learn a second place where Andrew said to Peter, his brother, when they were young and about to follow Jesus Christ, Andrew told Peter, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted the Christ. So that's where we understand that Messiah and Christ are the same word. Nature and scripture are based upon the law of sevens. Do you have that in your notes? You see where that is? Nature and scripture are based upon the law of sevens. Therefore, there is a time element that enters into all of God's plans, and that he has a system of prophetical chronology by which God makes known his plans and purposes as to the ages and dispensation. Let me say that again, since you may not have heard me because I got a hoarse voice. All right? Those little girls aren't here. I was going to say, is there a horse in my mouth? Nature and scripture are based upon the law of sevens. Therefore, there is a time element that enters into all of God's plans, and that he has a system of prophetical chronology by which God makes known his plans and purposes as to the ages and dispensation. This is clearly observed from the Lord Jesus' reply to his disciples when they asked him, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" And he said unto them, "It is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father hath put in his own power." From this, we see that there are times and seasons in God's plan for the ages. Okay? What season are we in right now? Summer. Right? We deal with four seasons. Right? Winter, spring, summer, and fall. Okay, but there are seasons in God's plans. And we see that God uses the phraseology of these seasons to spell out the coming of the end. So we see from Galatians above that Jesus Christ came the first time when the fullness of time was come. In other words, everything moves on a scheduled time in the universe. As seen from fulfilled prophecy, that nothing has failed to be fulfilled on time. Everything that has been fulfilled on time. So that we can confidently believe that all that the scriptures foretell of the future will likewise come to pass to the very minute. Now, what is the study of and the measure of time? Here's a word for you: horology. Horology is the study of time, the science of measuring time. Right? Now, I told you one of my most famous or favorite miracles in the Bible is when God caused time to stop. in the universe. I mean, that just amazes me that God stopped the motion of the sun and the moon. He stopped the heavens from moving. And time stood still. Do you know that we wouldn't know what time it was if it wasn't for the stars and the sun and the moon? They are our biological clock that tells us when we shut our eyes and when we wake up. Now, Brother Andy back there, don't call him at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock in the morning because he's sleeping.
Taking a nap, yep.
But my neighbors, they're nocturnal, okay? We come out in 8 o'clock in the morning. We're up and going. The households, you know, they get up around 5 in the afternoon, and they're up all night. There were two brothers that lived next door to one another. One has since passed away, but they've retired from the UAW. They always worked the third shift. Mm-hmm. Always worked the third shift. And when they were working and they weren't retired, and they were, it was the weekend, they were tuning their race car at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yep.
But and their children grew up to be the same way. The boys who now own the property next door to us, I said, you folks are nocturnal. But normally our clocks work around the sun and the moon and the stars. And so so that's the measure of time. In prophetical chronology, we come across such divisions of time as hours, days, weeks, months, years, and now here, look at this. I think it's italicized in your notes here. Time, times, and a half. That comes from a phrase we'll see here later in Daniel 12:7. It is evident that these divisions of time, in order to be intelligible, must all be interpreted on the same scale. What is that scale? Well, God has given us a key or a clue in His Word. And, you know, it's interesting how man has divided time into 24 hours. A day, a whole day is 24 hours, and then we have 60 minutes and 60 seconds. Do you know the lines of latitude and longitude? Also, to break them down into smaller elements, they're called 60 minutes and 60 seconds. To pinpoint where you are on the earth, they break it down into longitude, in degrees, minutes, and seconds. And so it says here, after the number of the days in which ye searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. Where's this out of, folks?
Numbers.
Numbers, the book of Numbers. What did we learn happened in that chapter? Because of Israel's belly aching and not believing Jacob and Joshua that they could take the land, and believe the 10 spies that said, those people are so big. They're like, we look like grasshoppers in front of them. They're giants in the land. And God just destroyed Egypt in front of their faces, and they were afraid of the people in the Canaan land. And so God made them wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And He uses a key there. You see the key? For every For every day that you bellyache, after the number of days in which ye search the land, the number of days they searched the land, which was 40 days, the 10 spies went into the land, each day for a year shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. So he's basically said, your carcasses will die in the wilderness. I sent you spies in there to give a good report, and you gave a negative report. So, Daniel, let me read to you Daniel 12:7. You can put this down. Here's an explanation of time, times, and a half, what that means. And I heard the man clothed in linen, this is Daniel speaking, which was upon the waters of the river. He had visions, he saw angels. God sent angels to speak to him. And so it says, I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and a half, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. We read that same phrase, time, times, and a half, in Revelation 12:14. Remember when I walked you through that? I think we did that in Bible study. And to the people were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half from the midst of the serpent. Okay, what we learn that a covenant is to be made for a week. And what happened in the midst of the covenant? What's half a week? 3.5 days. 3.5 days. That phrase there, times, times and a half, means 3.5 years. Now you're going to say, well, how do you get from weeks to years? Because we're going to explain what weeks mean here. Slow down. Don't get ahead of me. All right? I'll get that answer to you. I'll get that answer. We know that this judgment was literally fulfilled. For the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness 40 years, a year for every day that the spies searched out the land of Canaan. From this, we see that the divine scale of prophetical chronology is a day stands for a year. Put a circle around that. I got it in all capital letters in your notes there, but that's important. You need your red pen. A day stands for a year. And when thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy... Here's another example. And when thou hast accomplished them, this was a commandment to Ezekiel. Ezekiel was another great prophet, like Daniel. And when thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I have appointed thee each day for a year.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.